once again. I pray that you've been blessed and inspired already by the presence of God. Amen? All right. Again, God wants to speak, wants to move. He'll even have children lead you at times, right? Aren't you blessed when the kids sing like that? Amen. Beautiful thing. Beautiful thing. And again, it's inspiring, right? It is inspiring to hear them do that. And it's also convicting, right? It's convicting. So you got to wear that if that fits. Hey, just want to remind you, keep in mind that, again, we have people in the mission field right now. We have a team. The Bridge City family has a team in Honduras as we speak. They arrived yesterday. They're headed out. Actually, they're already out to the street on Sunday morning. Ryan Markell from our own campus, he's part of that team, led by Tom Rachel, who many of you know. And we still have Aaron Reed. Aaron Reed from our own campus is still in training. She's still in training for the mission field in Hawaii. And she'll be headed to Samoa, the island of Samoa, in a few weeks yet. And again, so we said there's things happening. We have a team going to Guatemala in July, a team going to Buffalo. We have Buffalo Dream Center. I'll be headed back to Kenya with Thomas Hyatt, some of you know, from our North Braddock campus later this week. So again, there's lots of things happening. And of course, we have our own Pittsburgh trip that'll be happening. And we'll be encouraging you about that as we go forward. So let's just be aware. We have people going, right? Going, being sent, being challenged, putting themselves in positions that they have to trust God, putting themselves in positions where they have to have courageous faith. Right? And again, God wants us in that place. He wants you to be in a place where you're being challenged. You know, as a Jesus follower, I want to live to please God, don't you? Yeah. Right? I want to please God. I want him to smile upon me. I want to make him proud. I want to make, just like as a kid, I wanted to make my parents proud. The way I behaved, the way I performed, the grades you got, or what you did on an athletic field, you wanted to make your parents proud. And it's constantly on my mind, whether I'm dealing with ministry issues and trying to care for people, or whether it be business, or whether it be how I handle stress, interactions with my neighbors. I want to honor God as I spend hours and hours on a plane, right? It's always on my mind. How do I please him? I want to please him. But one thing we need to always remember when it comes to pleasing God, that it comes from a place of faith. Right? Because again, we see here in Hebrews, this is a scripture that if you've been following Jesus for a while, you're familiar with this. But it's written, it says, it's impossible to please God without what? Faith. Faith. Right? Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek after him. Okay, so again, without faith, it's impossible to please God. We cannot please him unless we're trusting in him. And the first thing is that we have to believe that he is. We have to believe that God is who he says he is. Right? I have to come to that conclusion. And to come to that conclusion and see him in the right light, you have to believe he is a rewarder of those. Right? You seek after God, he wants to reward those who pursue him. Right? Just like a father or a mother wants to bless their children. It's like, I want my kids to do well because I long to bless them. Amen? Right? That's what we desire to do. That's something that's in us that we long to do. But again, just as we're beginning this study, which we're going to be in for several weeks, defining faith. You know, faith is something that's elusive to us. As Christians, we say faith, and you got to have faith. We say it so often, but I believe that many times we miss what are we really saying. To have faith, just keep it simple. Faith is a conviction, a confidence. It's an inward confidence and trust in God. It's this inward, I just trust. Well, you just got to have faith. Well, it doesn't look like it's going to happen. Well, that's why they call it faith, right? Faith, I have to have this faith. And if faith begins with, I believe that he is, and I believe he is good. I believe that he's good. That's where faith begins. But if we're, let's catch this too. Remember, even people who say they don't have faith in God still operate in faith. We all operate in faith. I've been riding planes all over the world this year. You know, I have faith that it's going to get off the ground every time. All right? I don't know who's driving. I don't know what the maintenance record is, but I have faith. I have faith that this plane's going to get off the ground. When you stick your card in an ATM, right, you have faith that money's going to come out. Right? You have faith. Right? You have faith. You have faith that money's going to come out. Okay, that there's a faith movement there. Now, of course, that faith has to be based on truth. Because if you have $100 in your account and you're putting the card in having faith to get out $300, right, it ain't going to work, right? Your faith has to be aligned with truth. Well, my faith is on Jesus Christ is who the Bible says he is. My faith is Jesus is. God exists and that he is good and as he is a rewarder. The truth I stand on is this book. This book. This is the truth. I'm holding fast. I'm holding fast to what this book teaches. Okay, my faith is based on truth. The same way you put your card in the machine, you have faith, but it's based on the truth that you have the money in the account. That's reality. See, again, so to please God, you've got to have faith. All right, again, faith that he is good, but it's based on truth. It's based on a truth that we know in. Now, here's the other thing about faith. So again, we define it. We know that it's based on truth, but also faith needs to be growing. Faith needs to be growing. Faith needs to be expanding all the time. I've been serving God now, my wife and I, for going on 43 years. 43 years. And again, you know, our faith still being expanded. It's still growing. It's still growing. It's not done. And one of the problems we have in the family of God, particularly here in the West, where we're so blessed. You're so blessed. We're so blessed. And again, we're in this, again, we take for granted we're so blessed. We take it for granted. You waking up to a refrigerator that had options. Listen, you are so blessed. You are so blessed that you have water and indoor plumbing. You are so blessed, right? There's just so many things for us to remember what we have. But see, but what happens though is because we're so blessed, we lose focus on what faith is really for, right? Our faith doesn't grow. Because some of us in here right now, listen, you really don't have a great need for faith. You don't have a great need. Why? Well, my needs are met. My needs are met. But listen, we're missing out on something here. You know, the reason you don't need faith is because you have a track record in your life that when you turn on the faucet, the water comes out, right? You don't need faith for that. There's a track record that when you turn the key in your car or push the button, it's going to start. There's a track record there. There's a track record. Well, it doesn't need a lot of faith because I've seen it proven. But we know, but faith starts to act. So faith is really activated when there's things that you don't see the obvious possibility of. Amen? That's when faith gets activated. See, so God is going wants to continually put us in positions where your faith is stretched. It should be stretched. God wants us to be in that position. You know, there was a time when, right, for all of us, when you started serving Jesus, it took faith to believe this story that he is who he says he is, right? But now you know it. It doesn't really take faith for you to believe that anymore. Again, I want to make sure. One of my roles, one of the beautiful roles in my life is that you don't get comfortable, okay? I want you to be secure, but I don't want you to be so comfortable that you stop moving in God. Okay, God wants us. Well, God wants us to continue. So we've got to learn to believe God. God wants to challenge us to trust him. You know, some of you, again, when your faith is being stretched today just to believe that he is who he says he is. Some of you, your faith is being challenged in your marriage. Some, your faith is being challenged in your singleness. Some of you, your faith is being challenged because you're afraid to give. Some, your faith is being challenged does God really protect me? Or do I need to watch out for myself? Some of us, our faith is being challenged in sharing our faith, right? Again, God, I'm good. And if you would just quit trying to stretch me and make me talk to sinners, I'd be good, right? But again, that's not what God's called us to be, right? So, and again, many too, we're dealing with fear. You need faith to deal with fear. God's putting us in these places. And speaking to you as a friend, I know those feelings, and I still know those feelings. I still know those feelings. Faith, listen, faith should always be growing, and faith grows by being stretched. Faith grows by having to exercise it. I need my faith to get stronger today. No one in this room would say, nah, my faith level's good. I'm good. I don't need it. I'm good. You don't have to pray for me for faith, Pastor. No one says that. Why? Because we sense something. We sense that God's calling us to something more. You know, because one thing about faith, again, when you think about it, it takes courage. To walk in faith takes courage. We need to be people who trust. I mean, faith is believing in things you can't see. Okay, that's Hebrews 11:1, right? It's substance of things hoped for, right? Now, again, so courage to believe. It takes courage to believe that fear can be defeated. It takes courage to believe that depression can be dealt with. It takes courage to believe that God could use you to transform someone else's life. It takes faith. To believe that and allow yourself to be put in that position. Listen, if there's no need for courageous faith in your life right now, if there's no need for courageous faith in your life, your vision of God is small, small, small. Every one of us should say, I need to be courageous in my faith. If not, I'm telling you, we're playing it safe. God is always calling us to a higher place. And that higher place requires greater faith. It never stops. Never stops. You know, I am 64 years old. And again, I've been blessed in my life. You know, been able to be used of God in various ways. Starting this church and doing some traveling. And I've been blessed in being able to reach lost people. I've been blessed in having 9 grandchildren and the family all serving God. I've been blessed in all these ways. And, you know, it'd be easy for me in that context to say, you know what? Life's pretty good. You know, life's good. I'm gonna take it easy here. I'm gonna take it easy. I'm 64. I've been doing this a long time, right? So what does God do? Well, he opens up these doors and says, I want you to travel to several nations. I basically want you to travel around the globe. I want you to be gone from home for weeks on end. And I want to put you in various cultures and different cultures. And I want to put you in places where you're going to be challenged to speak prophetically. You're going to be challenged to speak to leadership and pastors. And I'm going to put you in positions where you're going to be far from home, because that's a big deal. I'm going to put you in positions where you're going to be challenged financially and how God's going to do all this. Why'd he do that? I've been at this a long time, right? Why does he do that? Why? Because he's always calling us to a higher place. And you need to identify what's the higher place he's calling you to. Because if your faith doesn't need to be courageous today, you're missing it. Every one of us should have a need to be courageous, right? Otherwise, man, I'm playing it too close to the vest, right? Do you hear that? Okay, I hope you hear it, because it's really quiet in here. Okay, now, I said, my faith needs to grow, all right? I don't ever want to allow myself to be in a place where faith is not challenged. I want my faith challenged, right? Otherwise, I want to coast. The words that ring in my head since the day I read them was the words of Paul, where he said, you run the race to win. Run the race. Put yourself, we're in this race in serving God. I am in this to win it. And when the closer you get to the finish line, you do not slow down. Closer to a finish line, what do you do? It's not a trick question. What do? You speed up, right? We go faster. We go faster. That's what we want in our lives. So again, when you think faith, I want you to think trusting God. I want you to think it has to be growing. And I want you to think it should be courageous. Okay, yeah, we trust him. It got to grow, and we have to be courageous. So we're going to invest the next several Sundays talking about faith, building your faith, building my faith, building our faith, that we can be men and women who are walking in a higher place, being called to a higher place. Amen. Can you believe that you're called to a higher place? God's always calling you up. saying up. Great. And it's like he celebrates. Great. You conquered that part of your life. Amen. Now, let's take another step. Come up higher. Come up higher. It's not just about you. It's about something way, way bigger. Let's pray. Father, we come before you, and God, we thank you. We thank you for the gift of your word. We thank you for the gift we have in Jesus Christ. And Father God, we want to be people, Lord, who are challenged to trust you. God, I pray, Lord, that everyone, even in this moment, just slow down a moment, slow down your mind. Recognize you're being called to a higher place. You're being called to a greater faith. Some of you already know what it is. God, open my eyes. Let me see what you're speaking. Amen. 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 So we're going to look at Joshua, and you can turn to Joshua chapter 1. Okay, again, because we want to learn from him. And Joshua is obviously, for those that have been serving Jesus for some time, you're familiar with chapter 1, particularly of the book of Joshua. And what's happening, of course, in this moment in the book, in the Bible, is the children of Israel, after wandering around for 40 years by God's direction, because of disobedience, they wandered around the desert. They're now right across the Jordan River from the promised land, which we know today as present-day Israel. And it was promised to them, hence it was called the promised land. And again, they've been waiting a long time for this. The only two families of, shall we say, the only two people over 20, just for simplicity's sake, who are in this crew, I'm phrasing that wrong. Anyone over the age of 20, 40 years ago, but prior to this, has now died in the wilderness, except for Caleb and Joshua, and it appears their families. Why? Because they were the only two spies from 40 years prior who trusted God and said, let's take the land. God gave us a promise, take the land. The other 10 spies says, we can't do it. We're fearful, right? There's no way we can do it. And they led the people into fear. And then, of course, that fear turned into rebellion. And none of them got to go into the promised land except Joshua and Caleb. So what has been going on then for 40 years is people have been dying daily. Lots of people have been dying daily. Again, because they all had to pass away in these 40 years, except for Joshua and Caleb. Now, I just want to encourage you to see, when you read the Bible, you got to see the story in between the lines. Did you ever think about what Joshua and Caleb had to deal with through those 40 years? Because they're watching people die all around them, right? And they're living in a tent when they could have been living in the promised land. And, you know, I wonder if there were days where Joshua was like, you know, texting Caleb saying, come over here. I need encourage because I want to take someone's head off because we're here for another 20 years. We are suffering because of their sin. The sin of the others is affecting him. Now, two things to catch out of that. First is the heart that Joshua and Caleb needed to have. The second is, don't think your sin doesn't affect people close to you. Your sin, no matter what it is, affects those around you. All right? It affects those around you. Okay? So, enough said. That's another series. That's no extra charge. We'll just give you that. Okay? So, again, so that's what's happening. So, they're now poised. Joshua is the one that's going to lead them in. God has decreed Moses will not go in. That is another story we're not going to take the time with. Okay, so here we are. God's people are ready to enter the promised land, and they need to be courageous. But here's what we want to catch today. People that live with courageous faith, we're going to learn this from Joshua, will have these three similarities. They're prepared by God, they have the presence of God, and they have the promises of God. The promises of God. So let's look at this. Let's talk about being prepared. Joshua 1, verse 1. Joshua 1:1 says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, and into the land I am giving them to the people of Israel. Okay, so again, that just sounds so illustrious and so good. But again, read in between the lines. What's this mean to Joshua? What's this mean to Joshua to get this word? Okay, well, again, that's great. I got the promise, but God, we have an issue. The Jordan River, right? How are we going to get across the river? How are we going to get across the swollen river? And then he has another issue in the back of his mind. He knows about Jericho. Jericho is not far from the river. It has big. It's a big walled city, right? And also, he knows from the years ago, God has already stated in the book of Deuteronomy that in the promised land are seven nations greater and stronger than the Jews. Right? So he has that in the back of his mind. Also, when they cross the river, the manna stops. The free ride is over. So now he has to find a way to provide for all these people. Are you getting the drift here? There's plenty of enemies. There is a culture that hates God. There's cultures in the land that were into child sacrifice, sexual promiscuity. He has all these things to deal with. Okay, so you can read verse 1 and say, oh, this is just great. Praise God for Joshua. But you're not Joshua, right? See, so again, so as you read the word, put yourself in the story. Because when you put yourself in the story, you start thinking, you know, I can learn some things from him. I can learn some. How did he do this? Because how many know? There's promises of God we all know. We just say amen, right? But you're still waiting on the fulfillment of that promise, aren't you? Right? We're still waiting. Okay. So again, if we're going to have courageous faith, we allow ourselves to be prepared. So here we see Joshua. Again, God has decreed he is the man. But one thing I want you to catch though. To get God's promises, to get the promises, there's always obstacles. There's obstacles. Joshua, there were obstacles before him in this context. Now, I want you to catch something else. Faith-filled people know they have an assignment. Joshua was given an assignment. All right, his assignment was, I want you to take this land. Okay? Everyone in this room has an assignment from God. An assignment from God. He said, you are to take this land. Every church has an assignment as a group, as a team, as a called out group of God, of God's people. See, and God's plans, God's assignment is going to take faith. Going to take faith. See, if you're here today and you're saying, yeah, you know what? I really don't feel challenged in my faith. It's because you've forgotten you have an assignment. Okay, look at someone and say, you've got an assignment. You got an assignment, Joe. Ben, you got an assignment. You got an assignment. And sometimes it's readily obvious what we know it is. Okay. So again, so God, help us. Let's just talk about Joshua for a moment. Again, how is he prepared? Well, we know again from this verse even, he's the son of Nun from the tribe of Ephraim. You figure his father, his grandfather, his great-grandfather, his great-great-grandfather were all slaves. They were slaves in Egypt. They know all about racial disparity, right? They know all about prejudice, right? As Jews in Egypt, they were raised. Literally, he was raised in slavery. Okay, talk about humble beginnings. You talk about poverty. You talk about someone that watched his people get abused. I'm sure it's quite obvious that he saw people beaten, he saw people killed and taken advantage of. He also was one of limited education. And listen, he had no Bible. He had no Bible. Remember, he's going to serve Moses. Moses is the one that first put this together. All they got are stories. They got stories of Father Abraham, right? So this is Joshua. And what do you want to catch out of that? Don't think you're disqualified because of your background. You have an assignment, and it has nothing to do with your pedigree. All right? Joshua, what was Joshua raised in? What did Joshua have? You know, think about this. When Joshua, when they went through the 40 years, you know, Moses was the head. Joshua was really kind of the commander of the army. But did you ever think that, like, slaves weren't an army? Slaves didn't learn how to fight. They didn't learn how to use weapons, right? And so, you know that story about Aaron and Hur holding up Moses' hands so they could win the battle? Do you remember that story? Some of you remember. Does anybody remember that story? Okay. All right. Did you ever think about Joshua is leading a group of men into battle who have never fought before against trained warriors? No wonder Moses kept his hands up, right? I mean, it'd be motivation. See, but catch that. Catch there's a faith involved. So your background does not determine your future. Does not determine your future. Okay. Now, what else with Joshua? Joshua was also, though, he was an apprentice to Moses for years and years and years. He was an apprentice. He was known as Moses' assistant as long as Moses was on the scene. He learned submission. He defended Moses' authority, right? We see that in the scripture in Romans chapter 11. Joshua wasn't just an enthusiastic guy. He was faithful, faithful. He it was enduring. He trusted. He hung in there for 40 years. Hey, I mean, Exodus 33:11. We have this verse here. Exodus 33:11. Think about this. It says, so the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend, and he would return to camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. What's that tell us? Joshua was with Moses. I mean, there's reason to believe, we can't conclude it scripturally, but he may have even had those experiences like Moses did in the tabernacle. I mean, Joshua went up the mountain with Moses when he got the Ten Commandments, right? I mean, again, Joshua was there. He was there. He was being prepared in this time, okay? Yeah, so I just want you to catch. So Joshua, I don't think he knew he was being prepared to take over. He certainly thought Moses was going to be the guy who went into the land, right? He thought Moses would be the guy, I'm going to help him. But he was being prepared and didn't know it. What do we learn from that? What if we could treat every day like God's preparing us for the next step? What if every day you'd be thinking, okay, God, I'm going through this issue at work, but are you preparing? What are you preparing me for? What are you preparing me for? What do you want to teach me in the midst of this? Okay, so Joshua's preparation. What do we got? His past didn't hinder him, but man, he was a man who had faith, right? He had to walk in faith, even being a warrior. We don't have time to cover all that. He was faithful. He was a faithful man. He obviously was teachable, and boy, did he have courage. So let's go forward. Let's talk about the presence of God. We'll use Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. Chapter 1, verse 5. It says, no man shall be able to stand before you. This is God speaking to Joshua. All the days of your life, just as I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land I swore to give to their fathers. Okay, God's saying, I'm not going to leave you. He says, I will be with you in verse 5. I will be with you. Just like we're told in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus said, I will be with you always. He was not alone. Joshua was not alone. He knew God's presence. He was someone who pursued this relationship with God. I mean, think about what we just read in Exodus 33:11. He was there. He stayed with Moses. He was at the tabernacle. You know, and so think about this. So with what Joshua would have witnessed with Moses going into this tent, which is all it was in the desert, and he knew Moses as one who had encountered God. When he heard the words, just as I with Moses, I will be with you, that meant something special to Joshua. He knew what that meant, right? He knew it. He saw it. He had seen it. He knew it. He saw it. Man, he heard God. I mean, so this meant something to him. He knew God's presence. He knew his presence. He pursued his presence. A similarity of those who are going to walk courageously. Let's talk about his promises. Verse 3 and 4, chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. This is what God told Joshua. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. Just as I promised to Moses from the wilderness, this Lebanon. And he tells him how big this territory is. And again, think about this. This promise that he's telling Joshua he's going to do, this was promised to Abraham back in Genesis chapter 12. He said, I'm going to give you a land. So this is not a new promise. He's saying, Joshua, you're the one that's going to lead him in. you're going to do this. He had a promise from God. But boy, I want you to catch. See, the promises of God, here, this is important, are not just about you. And this is where we get off so often. We look at the promises of God and we're so thankful for them, right? We thank God. We thank God that, like Joshua got a territory. I'm thankful that God gave me the territory of freedom from my sin. I'm thankful God gave me the territory of freedom from fear, right? Or anger, or again, doubt or depression. We celebrate those freedoms, amen? We celebrate God has made us free. But I want you to catch something. See, the territory isn't just for you. He didn't just set you free and say, great, great. He says, no, I have more for you. Now I want you to take other people along. I want you to bring other people. Others. It's not just about you. And man, let's be honest. There are times, God, couldn't it just be about me one time? Right? But no, there's always this call upward. See, Joshua, this isn't just for you, Josh. You have to take all those people with you. All of them. They all got to go with you. This is a promise for everyone. Amen. And so we got to see this. God has not just set you free for yourself. You know, our worship leader, Aaron or Mackenzie, okay? They could just worship God on their own. They could just do that on their own, right? That'd be great. I'd love to be able to play an instrument and just worship God. But you know what? They're not called to do that, are they? They're called to lead you in, to help you get there. Aren't you glad? Right? We have people here, I think, Larissa has just this, she's been set free in her life in many different ways. But she knows it's not just about her. Now she devotes her time to helping other people find freedom. Aren't you glad? Right? Aren't you glad that we have an usher team? Rusty's our head usher today. You know, Rusty's a pretty secure guy. He's not walking in fear or worry. But he doesn't just see it as his own issue. He wants to make sure all of you feel safe and secure. So he helps lead a team. Right? You know, many of us, we've had various victories in our lives. Okay? So am I supposed to just keep that to myself? Or should I be in a small group? Should I get into a connection group where I can help encourage other people? See, it's never just about you. And this is a lot of times where we stop growing in our faith because we think it's just about me. Say, forgive me, God, right? Amen. So again, so catch that. We want to grab hold of that. It isn't just your territory. It's not just about you. It's about something bigger than you. We got great promises before us. Verse 7 and 8. Only be strong and very courageous. This is God speaking. Be careful to do according to all the law of Moses, my servant commanded you. I just want to focus here on strong and courageous. Hit that next slide, Joel. And again, what's it mean to be strong? Valiant, manly, strengthened, established, firm, courageous, right? I want you to catch something, though, that he says strong and courageous. I know some people that are really courageous, but they shouldn't be. Like they'll just throw themselves into stuff and they're not strong. But I also know some very strong people, even in the faith, who don't have courage. See, the call is be strong, be fortified, be trained, but also be courageous. You can't just be courageous if you're not strong and fortified and trained. Make sense? Okay. All right, so again, so this is what it means. So he's saying, okay, Josh, for you to lead in the promises, strength and courage. You gotta have both of them. Okay, so how's it happen? Verse 8. This book of the law, this is what God's speaking to Joshua. So you gotta be strong, courageous. I've given you promises. This is how. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Okay, check the promises at the end. What's the promise? If you do this, you'll make your way prosperous and have success. Anybody could use a little more prosperity and success, right? Okay, that's the promise. That's the promise. That's the promises that are available to us. So we know, we've already talked about, you know, to please God, I have to have faith. I got to believe he is. I got to believe he's good. I know I got to be strong. I got to be courageous. How do I do it? Don't let this word depart from your mouth. What does that mean? Here's a simple definition I've found out of a concordance. Every word from your mouth should be governed by God. Every word out of your mouth should go through the governance of the Holy Spirit. Let my words be governed by God. You know, see, we fight negativity, don't we? I mean, all of us. I mean, bad news travels quicker than good news. You know, and again, some of us by nature are glass half empty people, and some are glass half full people. Right? But again, even if you're a glass half full person, there's time you have to fight. You have to fight that negativity. You know, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's recorded in Matthew and Luke. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Listen, what's coming out of your mouth? What's coming out of your mouth? I mean, if you're thinking we can't, we never will, I'll never be able to, look at the beginning of the verse. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Okay, we need to know this book. You want to be strong, courageous. You want to know why you struggle in faith? Because this is not governing your mouth. All right. Glad you came today. Okay. Again, God, help us catch this reality. Help us catch this reality. See, a lot of times we talk about God, but we don't talk about the Word of God, and we're not applying the Word of God. You know, I don't fight with theory. I fight with the Word of God, right? This is my sword. This is what I fight with. Examples. If you have a strained relationship, what word should you be speaking? What Bible verse? And there's many. I think of Micah 6:8. Okay, man, you know what it is to do good, right? Do justly. Do the next right thing. Love mercy, be forgiving, walk humbly. Okay, well, that's a scripture I can be speaking if I'm in a strained relationship. Okay, this is what I'm going to do. How about if you're in fear, if you're dealing with fear? I mean, fear is a monster in our lives. Fear of the future. Well, how about Joshua 1:7-8? All right, again, God says, I will never leave you. I will never leave you. How am I going to do it? Man, God, I'm trusting in your word. All right, I know there's going to be prosperity and success as I trust. How about depression? If you're dealing with depression, how about Jesus' words in John 16:33, right? In the world, you will have trouble, but fear not, I've overcome the world, right? He's going to be with us in these times. How about, I just don't want to be apart with people. These people frustrate me, and I want to pick my spots. Well, I think of Hebrews 10:24, where it says, don't forsake the gathering of the saints of God. But it says we're supposed to stir one another up to good works as the day of Christ draws near. See, here's the thing. Next, throw up that next slide. Listen, every victory needs a verse. Every victory needs a verse. When you're fighting something in your life, what word are you standing on? What are you standing on? There's a verse you should be standing on. There's something that should be happening. There's something that should be standing. You should be standing on. Okay, you got to have a verse. Psalm chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Psalmist says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. On his law he meditates day and night. Okay, what do? You meditate day and night. We got to meditate on this word. What happens then? You're like a tree planted by the water. You yield fruit. You don't wither. Why? When you meditate upon the word. Meditate simply means, again, to muse, to be thinking about, to be softly speaking the word of God over yourself, because you need it. You need to do these things. And of course, so listen, this is how you do it. This is how we walk in strength and courage. We've got to be people who are not going to let words just flow out of our mouth. I'm going to meditate on the word of God. Then it says I can inherit the promises. But if you're not going to do this, don't expect to inherit the promises, right? And you're going to miss out on the great things God has for you. So in conclusion, and Aaron, if you could come up, okay, says people that live with courageous faith, okay, are people who are prepared by God. Can I have that next slide? Next slide, please. There you go. Okay. Okay, and just remember, I said what we had said at the beginning. Again, we are people who are to be recognized. I'm prepared. Recognize, listen, I have the presence of God, but I know the promises of God. God has commanded us to be courageous. If you don't know why you should be courageous, all right, again, that's something you need to say, God, forgive me. Forgive me that I'm not walking in a faith. Forgive me that I'm living a life that I don't need faith. Oh, that's sad. And listen, if your faith is only for yourself, for your own well-being, for your own future, your own security, that's not God-honoring. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, he chided his followers for worrying about provision. He says, you're acting like an unbeliever worried about those things. Faith, courageous faith, is for taking other people to take the territory of God. All right? So what do we need to do? What do we do now? Why do we talk about this? You need to identify what's your assignment. You need to identify your assignment, or what do you want to call it, a territory. And you need to make moves to get there. And for some of us, that is still personal. That is dealing with fear. That is dealing with anger. You've got to process those things and get through those things. Why? That you could get to the more important things of God. Right? That we could use our faith courageously. Amen? So identify your assignment. Identify the territory that you're to take and to bring others along in. Amen? Listen, again, that last slide, please. This is where spoken by Paul. He says, for by grace you've been saved. How? Faith. It's by faith. And this is not your own doing. It's a gift of God. It's a gift of God. That's what we have, a gift of God. Listen, if you're here today, and again, you don't know what that means. You know about God, you've been one who believes in God, but you've never been one who can say that I've never just said I've taken him in faith to be a faith-driven person who's going to trust him with my life. If you don't understand what that means, if you don't know what that means, listen, I don't want you to leave without growing in an understanding of that. You need to know what it means to be a follower. You cannot expect to have the promises of God if you have not come to a place where you say, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. That's necessary. And again, if that's you today, we don't want you to leave without that assurance, without an understanding of what it means to be a follower of God. You can't earn it. It's by faith. Those who come to God have to believe that he is. And so we will not leave today. We will not leave today without that knowledge. So again, if that's anyone here, again, I want you to, there's a card on your seat, those blue cards. Pick that up, fill it out, put mark on it. They said, you want to know what it means to make Jesus leader of your life. Okay. So right now, so you have an assignment. Let's close in prayer and let's go in victory. Father, we come before you. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the challenges of it. We want to be people of courageous faith. Courageous faith, God. Father, we see, Lord, you've shown us how. You've told us how to do it. Let us walk in power and strength. God, let us walk in expectation of what you're going to do next, as we heard, we were exhorted for today. Holy Spirit, come. I want to be one who knows my assignment and I am walking in faith. In Jesus' name, they all said, amen. Amen. Sam.